Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi, folks. Just want to remind you about a new YouTube channel that we started. NLcast.com/YouTube is how you get to it. June 11th, 2022 is NarthexCon 2020 and here in St. Louis, Missouri. Registration is open at NLcast.com/Narthex. And remember that theme show. It's church. And it's January 27th next week.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This is Batman. And you're listening to That Story Show. I'm going to fly away now.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
What's it?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house.
I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show where we bring your real comedy stories into the spotlight. This is episode 401, brought to you the week of January 20th, 2022. I am your host, the gorgeous, beautiful inside person, James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John, and James, since you've been gone, I can't breathe for the first time.
Since you've been gone! For the first time! I can't do it. I can't.
I did that just for you, and I can't do it either. Apparently, I tried and
thanks to you.
Yeah. Who sang that song, anyways?
Belinda Carlisle, of course. No, the girl from that won the first American Idol, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, she is amazing. She's a great lady. We should have her on the show.
We should.
Yeah.
We should. Do you think we could fit it into our schedule to have her on the show?
I don't know, but we could try. I will say this. Yeah. We had a celebrity, actually the people that represent the celebrity, contact our show, and she's going to be on a Netflix series. And she wants to come on, possibly onto the podcast, and we're talking about it. And I'm kind of excited about it. Now she's not the main character, but she is one of the main characters in the show. And she's a comedian. And I don't know. I'm excited.
I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember her name right now, but it's really cool. I think it's like
Stephanie. It rhymes with awesome.
It's like Stephanie or something like that. But
Stephanie.
Anyway, okay. She's going to be staying. You know Kristen Bell, right?
Yes.
Yeah. She was in Heroes back in the day, and she's been in other stuff since then. And wasn't she in Kristen Bell? She's done voices for animations and stuff.
Yes,
like that.
Yeah. I'm trying. I just saw her. Something the other day.
Yeah,
Kristen Bell.
And she's not too bad on the eyes either. She's a beautiful lady. She's the main character in this show, and then this lady that is wanting to interview on her show is playing opposite her. So, we're moving on up, baby.
We are. That's going to be rad. And stand by.
Yeah,
stay tuned. Like and subscribe so that you can get the updates.
See if we can, follow us on Twitter and Facebook and join the Facebook group and all that. We always like to start with an opening story, and this one's called Balloon Hero, and it's from Oliver, who is the balloon hero in the story. Hi, this is Oliver Harris. I am 11, but this story happened when I was about 4. I used to live in Florida. Well, I'm sorry about that, but
we all did.
Yeah, everybody has lived in Florida at some point or another. But Florida's rough, living in Florida. I've always said it's a place that if you just visit, you don't get the whole story about Florida, because Florida does not want anyone to live in it. It doesn't. The wildlife is against you. The plant life is trying
the traffic
to
life.
Take over. The traffic, even the old people, it's where they go to pass away.
the ghosts.
The dust. It's so dusty there because of the old people. Anyway, I used to live in Florida. Thankfully, he escaped. And we used to have this dentistry place called Dr. M&M. And it was the best. And after every checkup, he would give us tokens for the, quote, toy tower, unquote. Sounds fun.
Toy tower.
We just had a chest at the dentist office.
Yeah.
Plastic crap in it.
That's right. Something from Oriental Trading Company, right?
Yeah. Plastic crap and a time limit. Because your mom would be like, you got 5 seconds. You know, at least my mom would. You're just digging through it. And it's all you can find is, you know, plastic guys. You're looking for the guy with the parachute. That's what you want, you know. But all you can find is teeth. You know,
or the stupid spider ring. Yeah. Who wants that? Nobody. The box is full of them.
Well, anyway, you also got a balloon. So Dr. M&M was the jam.
I mean, the name alone is awesome. I get a balloon and a coin to the toilet.
It had the logo of the doctor on it. So they're really spending the money. One day after a checkup, my sister and I were playing with our balloons. And my sister's balloon got stuck on the ceiling. She let it go.
And they were like inflated or helium balloons.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, this doctor's office was on top of things.
Florida.
Where was this when I was a kid? We had Dr. Sashi. And Dr. Sashi was like, if Jack Skellington was a human, that's what he would look like.
Yikes.
Except without the voice. You know, he wasn't like, hi, James, get up on the table. You know, it wasn't like that. But Dr. Sashi was 9,000 years old, and his hands were extremely cold. So
and they didn't wear gloves back then.
And all he had in the waiting room was paintings of what I'm sure was not copyrighted, characters at the time. But, you know, Mickey Mouse and all this, and he had some chalkboards that you could draw on, but man, that's all we had. But anyway, in my 4-year-old mind, this balloon being on the ceiling was a tragedy, a travesty, something that needed to be helped. And I was going to get that balloon back and be a hero.
Nice.
It was going to be great. So the only obvious option to me was no, not to go get my dad, who could easily get the balloon down, but to pull the couch out from the wall and stand up on it. So I was balancing perfectly on the edge of the couch, preparing for all the pride and prestige that would come with getting that cheap dollar store balloon back. It was all planned out in my tiny brain. I would jump to get the balloon, and that's really all that it was, my plan, my master plan. Sadly, I was too young to realize that there was a thing that would kick in soon after the jump called gravity. So as you could imagine, as soon as I jumped, I caught the balloon and then my face lit up. I had done it. I had completed the mission. And then still grinning to ear to ear, I crashed, bam, into the ground, started crying. My mom comes over to see if I'm okay. And I said I was, but I obviously wasn't. I had just fallen 2 or 3 feet. Three or 4 feet into the ground, but I wasn't going to tell her that. That's boys for you. Mm-hmm. I proudly gave my sister her balloon back. I limped over, you know, bleeding profusely. You know, it was like a scene from Save Private Ryan, you know, just dragging my body through the barbed wire and the mud to give her balloon back.
Here's your balloon.
And little did I know that I had actually broken my collarbone during my little trust fall. You'd think my parents would have figured out that it was broken. I was at the doctor's after all, but no, I had broken a collarbone, and it was 4 straight days before somebody figured this out. In the meantime, I had been walking around with one arm up and the other one down. So like some sort of hunchback. It apparently didn't look weird to anyone though. And that's why it took so long to figure out. I guess I was just a weird looking kid. After we did figure it out, I had to wear a sling for about a month, and that was fine. After that, I hope nothing like this will ever happen again.
Yeah.
I'll just call my dad to get the balloons down. Hope you like my story. Hoped it wasn't too long, and I hope it makes it on the show. Oliver.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oliver, you are a balloon hero.
You are, and for some reason I got the song Jukebox Hero stuck in my mind, but Balloon Hero is way, way better.
I've got Oliver, never before as a boy wanted more, but that's from Oliver.
Oliver Twist?
Yes.
Oh, wait, is there a movie called Oliver or Oliver Twist? Oliver Twist is a Dickens story.
Yeah, but it's also a musical.
Ah, okay.
They used to play on old school Disney Channel. And the boys want Oliver to go up and ask for more. And
yes, I remember that. Please, sir,
can I have some more?
More?
You want more? Yeah, there you go.
And it was like really bad food. It was like gross looking.
It was gruel. Yeah, it was not
gray good. And nasty.
It was like my wife's cooking back in the day before the Weight Watchers cookbook. No, I'm kidding. She's always been great. Always. It's time for us to rewind the week. Let's do it. Rewinding. All right, if you don't know what the weekly rewind is, it's where we bring you news and updates from the last few days of our life. And I've got several updates, and I don't know which one to share. So I'll start with, I got two. So I'll start with one of them. One of them is very simple, and it doesn't really have a payoff. It's just that you know what a masculoid is, right? We've established that that's a name for the male part of the anatomy that a woman has, but we don't call them the same things.
Right, because it's a masculine part.
It's a little pointy outy part on your chest called a masculoid. And
masculoid.
For some reason, I don't know why, but my right one is sore and hurting. And I don't even know how I can tell you I know that. Like, it doesn't bother me right now. It's not actively hurting. But if I put a shirt on, or if I roll over in the bed, or if something rubs against it, it hurts. Okay? So I just wanted to share that because, you know, it's kind of like when your toe hurts. It's like nobody ever steps on your foot. You never stump it until after something happens. And then you're like stubbing it all the time. And
so I'm sensitive.
I just want to put that out there. I am going to investigate throughout the week and try to figure out why, what's going on, what's hitting it. It's causing this problem.
You've got a painful masculoid.
Yeah. And then I will, I'll report back on to you later. So anyway, I played a little joke on my wife this week. We had COVID, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And did I tell this one already? I'm feeling like I told this one already.
I think you did. Okay. Yeah, cause we had a whole discussion about it.
Okay. Then I'm going to move on to the next one. It was about a thermometer. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't delete it.
You don't remember, right?
Go back and listen to the last episode, episode 400. So I'm going to the bathroom. We're going to we're at a restaurant we always go to called Seiberg's, and it's great if you're ever in the Missouri area. It's a chain, but it's a local chain, and it's very well done. And the original one's
Seiberg's.
Seiberg's.
No, it sounds like Cyborgs.
It does.
Is Arnold there? Is he dressed like the Terminator?
He is. And he's very pretty.
Sorry.
It's great. And the original one's on Gravois. So if you ever want to go. But anyway, I told my wife I need to go number one. Going to the bathroom, I need to go number one. And then I just felt stupid and my brain just kept going. Kind of took over. And I said, and I'm going to do a little bit of number two. And she goes, a little bit? And I said, yeah, that's all that'll go down the urinal. And she said, what the actual crap, James?
You know, sometimes you just got to back up to the
Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, that's the image I wanted to put in her head, that I was going to use the front ways and then turn around and dollop out a little bit. It is like, yeah, I'd do a number one and a little number two. Why a little?
Why? Why? What's the deal?
She opened the
door. You don't want to be in there that long?
She opened the door wide up, you know? So anyway,
sorry.
We have fun, you know, my wife and I. So
yeah, you know, you got to.
Yeah. I will say, when I got in there, they had installed, of all things, in the urinal, they had installed a little soccer field, like a goal with a ball.
What?
Yeah.
In the urinal?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you can play.
I want to go there just to see that. You can
play soccer.
Go!
And I said, told my wife about it. She goes, this is something that I cannot relate to and never will be able to relate to. I'm like, yeah, unless you've helped around the house by cleaning a speck off the toilet with your urine stream, you don't know what it is to be a man.
Nobody knows. Yeah.
So there we go.
Wow. It's an interesting thing that we get into sometimes, but a lovely thing.
Yes. So anyway, that's my deal. I played around teasing my wife.
Number two.
My goal is every day to make her jaw drop. Like, I say something that is just so out there that she's like, she wants to punch me or she wants to yell at me. And it's a lot of fun. And so
you don't think that the shock value will ever wear off on her? I mean,
so
you think she'll just
far, I just keep one-upping myself. I've had to go further and further, a little further every time. So
wow,
yeah.
Well, kudos to you. And it's been what, 25?
25 years. Yeah.
There you go.
It's
now what. When did you start this? Because I need to gauge how far
you've. Dude, I've been playing stuff like this from
before you were married, right?
No. I back in the day, like one time we were dating and we're driving down the road and I was having horrible reaction to the air and my nose was running like water. And so I had a tissue box in the center console and I was constantly just pulling out tissues, blowing my nose, filling them up, putting them down, taking another one. Well, this one, I took a new one and I got just a bottle of water and flipped it upside down, filled it up with water. And then I fake blew my nose. And then I go, oh my gosh, Jen, look how much is here. And I squeezed it out on her leg and she screamed louder and higher. Yes. Than I have ever heard. She was kicking her legs. And
that's disgusting.
It is. It's terrible. She had
thought of it is.
She had plenty of time to dump me and to find a real man. She did.
she stuck
with me. And she apologizes to my kids every day. Because I'm the reason their feet stink. And I'm the reason they have big foreheads. But she's the reason they study hard and make good grades. So it's a good mix.
Well, my poor kids have probably got my study habits and my dashingly bad looks. So
whatever.
Yeah.
John, I say this with all sincerity and with all the gusto a straight man can muster. You're a very attractive young man. So
thanks. I appreciate that.
There you go.
You and my wife are probably the only two people that think that. So,
well, she probably thinks it more. I was saying it to be nice.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel like $1 million now.
So what's going on in your world?
Well, I a lot, everything it seems, but specifically for my weekly update this week, I want to tell you about another podcast.
Oh no.
Well, kind of, but don't worry. They don't do the same thing we do.
Okay.
I have a friend at work here, and thank you, Jason. He's actually a listener to our show, and he was showing me on his phone. He said, "Hey, look, this is where you are on my importance of shows that he listens to, on podcasts he listens to." And And right next to that story show on his phone was this podcast called Monsters Among Us. And I'm like, what's that about? And he said, oh, man, it's a great show. It's about, you know, ghosts and paranormal stuff and just, you know, creepy kind of things.
Huh.
And people's experience. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty great show. So I started listening to it in my free time. And it's kind of addicting because the host, you know, he's got this low voice and he talks and it makes it all, you know, he just does it all up. And it's just great. And it's a lot of people calling in with these experiences and stuff like that. And so it's a great show. So if, you know, if you ever happen to listen to it, you know, tell them that story show sent you. Okay?
There you go.
And, so anyways, I was listening to it the other day on my phone and I was a little creeped out. It's not intended to make you creeped out. I don't think it's just people kind of sharing their experiences,
mm-hmm.
but it was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And I had it, I was listening on my phone and I took my earbuds out and, I was walking through the yard and I heard this sound. And so I was already heightened, right? because I had just listened to some creepy stuff and then I kept hearing this sound and it was like, it was coming from like right where I was standing. And so I was like looking around. And I was like, what in the world is that sound? And it was kind of freaking me out. And then I hear this voice. It's coming from my pocket.
And I hate like, that.
I hate that. So apparently I had, you know, there's this music that plays in this podcast. And apparently I had stopped it at such a point where it was that Phil music that was going up. And then the host got back on. And so I don't know. I guess when I stuck my phone in my pocket, it started it back up and... So nothing weird, nothing strange or paranormal happening in my life.
No, just, it's easily can't
control explainable. My technology.
Yeah, I had that happen to me just last night. I was wiping up after a job well done in the bathroom and kept hearing this noise coming from my jacket, which was hanging on the vanity there. And I'm like, what the heck? And it was YouTube. It just decided to keep playing the audio and it wouldn't stop. Until I rebooted the phone. It was just...
Whoa!
I was like, what the heck? Good thing
usually
I...
Usually you have to pay extra for that.
I know. I don't know what the deal is. Anyway, we got a new patron this week.
Oh.
So, want to thank Brent, who became a $5 patron. We appreciate you, Brent.
Yeah, man.
Thanks to all of our patrons for your support. If you'd like to become a patron... You can get a sticker in the mail and you get Discord privileges and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. And you get to support us. Just go to patreon.com/thatstoryshow. We got a listener email. It's from Ashley from St. Louis, Missouri, right here in my town. It's not my hometown. It's a town I live in. Your podcast helps me through anxiety and depression. She says, one... that was most recently started affected my relationship with my fiance due to doubts and fears. Listening to the funny stories you tell helps push all that out of my mind while working and feeling depressed. Thank you for making me laugh when all I want to do is cry. So, Ashley, thank you so much for confiding and sending that in. I appreciate it. It's huge. And I'm glad this show means so much. I definitely didn't intend for it to, but I'm glad it does. So
yeah,
let's read some stories.
Okay.
This one is called Surprise Grandma by Lily Langstad from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I am Lily and I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I'm currently in the sixth grade. I have been listening to your show for about 2 months now, and it always makes me smile. I wanted to submit a story since the first time I listened to the show, but my life isn't very interesting until last week when I was walking out of my school. I was waiting to be picked up, and I saw my grandma's red Cadillac driving to park into the school's parking lot. Yeah, red Cadillac.
Red Cadillac. That sounds fancy.
I've never seen one of those before, but it would definitely be a unique kind of car to see and know that it was your grandma. I did not think she was going to pick me up today, I thought, but it's always a treat to have grandma pick you up. So I started walking over, and when I got closer, I decided it would be a good idea to scare her. by walking over to the driver's side window and knocking on it. So I did. And she turned to look at me. And then I realized that was not my grandma.
It was a grandma.
It was somebody's grandma, but it wasn't mine. It was just some random old lady that probably thought her grandkid had showed up for a second. But then she saw me, and you could tell she realized I was not her grandkid, and she looked like she was about to have a heart attack. So I turned around and ran. Luckily, I saw my dad's car very quickly and almost opened the door when I saw some old guy in there. Wow, I thought, this is not my dad's car. I was paranoid. But then I saw that it really was my dad. So I jumped in and I decided not to tell him about my slick move. So I acted like everything was normal. Let's go, Dad. Let's go now.
Hurry, Dad. Let's put gas. Start the car.
Get the freak out of here, Dad. Don't ask questions. The moral of the story is don't knock on your family's car windows because they could be some random old hag. Wow, I didn't say that. I don't even know.
That's
what that
Lily said that.
Yeah, hope my story makes it on the show. Yeah, it did. Why does the old lady have to be a hag? We reserve that for special people,
special old ladies.
Yeah, the old ladies or that, men. That think they're super hot and try to manipulate you with their hotness. Those people are officially hags on the show. I just want to tell you that. Right now,
they got ways you don't know nothing about.
Yeah, like the lady that tried to cut my hair and convince me that, you know, I should get a facial. So,
yes, you should have a facial, James. Face all, get that stuff on your face and stuff.
Speaking of haircut, and if I haven't announced it yet, my haircut that I have to get, my head shaved, is being postponed till June 11th. To take place during the live meetup at Benton Park Cafe here in St. Louis at NarthexCon. So it should be pretty cool.
It's going to be fun. Are you going to have me do it or are you going to have a professional do it?
I don't know. It depends on if I can talk somebody into it. If I can get a professional to come in and do it, I think it'd be funny. But we'll see.
It would be. It would be awesome. But I can give you the same haircut I give myself every week.
Okay.
And that is the razor blade.
Yeah, John, you're welcome. You're welcome to do it. But I'm not going to tip you. I was going to tip the lady that, you know, if a lady came in and did it, or a guy, I don't care. Anyway, read us a story.
I've got a story, and it comes to us from our good friend, Abigail. I hope Abigail's a good friend, because I just made her.
She is now.
There you go, Abigail. Well, thank you for writing it in. This is IV immunity, and this just the title alone is it's got me scratching myself if it's anything that I think it is. My family had recently moved into a new house that had poison ivy growing on some of its exterior walls, and that's exactly what I thought the ivy was. Not English ivy, poison ivy, you know, the kind that makes you itch.
Yeah, the bad stuff.
If I'm sure I've shared it, but I have an extreme aversion. Oh, well, I did because I had to go get a shot. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I am not a big fan of poison ivy. I don't like how it looks. I don't like how it feels. Anyways, continuing on. However, my brothers and I were very young and we could not confidently identify poison ivy. Leaves of three, let it be. That's the saying.
Yep.
That's how you know. On the day that this story happened, my younger brothers, Josh and Tommy, were playing by the back steps. Josh noticed a vine climbing on the side of the house and thought it would be fun to play with it. He tore the vine off the wall and began twirling it around. Then, as you might expect with young boys, the vine became a whip.
Mm.
And Josh whipped at Tommy with the vine, and they continued to run around outside. Well, not too long after, the rashes started to form. And that's what told them what kind of vine Josh had been playing with. Mm. Tommy developed itchy rashes all over his torso. The odd thing was that Josh had no rashes at all. I thought it must have been some sort of anomaly, but Josh claimed that he was immune to poison ivy. Lucky. At first, I was skeptical, but multiple tests have now confirmed that Josh seems to be immune to poison ivy. Man.
He was tested.
He was tested. Yeah, he tested and
it's his mutant ability. I wonder how that goes. He's an X-Man.
Man, I'm not going to say that would be the superpower that I would want.
No,
but if I did have that superpower, I would totally abuse it or something. This superpower may have gone to his head a little. We've had to talk him out of eating poison ivy to test his limits.
It's still got immunity. The word poison in it.
It's still, yeah.
The logic of middle schoolers, man, it never fails to amaze me.
I'm going to eat this poison ivy and see if it affects me.
I will prove to you all that I am superior to you. I am a boy, and I have to prove that I am powerful. So,
I'm not a big fan of the poison. Anyway, sorry, Tommy, meanwhile, poor Tommy had to play football with his pads rubbing over all of this itchy, blotchy, irritated torso. He did, however, get a kick of out of telling some gullible kids that he had leprosy. Yeah, good one. I hope you enjoyed the story, Abigail.
Yeah,
thank you, Abigail.
Funny to everybody except people that have leprosy. Leprosy awareness, man. You gotta be making sure you're being nice to people with leprosy.
That last bout of poison ivy that I dealt with, it was all over my arms.
Yeah.
It took like a month for that junk to clear up. Wow. And it was still itchy even after it had gone away. That stuff is, I tell you what, it's part of the curse, I guess.
You need a blood transfusion from Josh, the superpower kid.
Yes.
Then you could wear poison ivy underwear. So.
Yeah. I don't know that I would go that far because I wouldn't want to test the limits at all. But
isn't it some kind of oil that it secretes that gets on your skin? Yeah.
It's the oil. And that's why it doesn't like show up right away, because that oil is an irritant and it eventually, you know, does the wickedness to your skin that causes it.
Man. But you're okay now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I only had the one shot and then I had to take like some steroids. Mm. And dude, those things, I don't like taking that junk. That stuff's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. All buff.
Yeah. I don't know how this
buff now.
No,
no,
but it did make me eat a lot. I got really hungry eating that stuff, but it made me feel weird. I don't know. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, staff drugs, kids. John's already said it right there. It's bad for you. This one's called The Worst Story, and it truly is. It's called It's by Stephen Forrester. I had lunch with him the other week, and he told me he had had stories written on or read on the show, but that the first one he ever sent in never made it, and he was afraid it was because it was too gross. And after he told me the story in real life, like over lunch, I said, yeah, it probably was because it was too gross. Of course, we were eating lunch at the time. I said, but we just did a whole episode about a tater salad bowl full of placenta. So our standards have dropped quite a bit.
It really? Yeah.
So send it back in and I'll read it. You know?
Hey, tater salad.
So that's what we're doing now is we're reading the story. So hi, James and John. Stephen Forrester here with a story that hopefully won't make you throw up.
Okay. Oh, goody.
No promises. Oh, this story took place back in 2006. I was 16 years old, and my church youth group went to a large youth conference in Kentucky, and they had lots of preaching, but it also included some incredibly fun activities in between sessions. The large group of teens from various churches were split into six big teams, which would compete for points and prizes in some of the events. At the end of one of the preaching sessions, they announced that their next big game would be later that day, and it would be called What Would You Do to Earn 5,000 Points for Your Team?
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a game like that in our youth group called What Would You Do for a Dollar? And we would dare kids to do ridiculous, stupid stuff, and all they would win was a dollar. And
wow.
Yeah, one guy
ate. Game is also known as How Low Are Your Standards?
Yeah. we went to a dollar store and bought dog food that was mostly grease and had a kid eat a fork load of it. We had a kid drink a soda through his own sock, you know,
just
anything we could think of. And it was totally not worth a dollar, but we always found some kid that wanted to do it, you know? So anyway,
I got a free soda out of it.
Yeah, that's true. But this is definitely that kind of game. So they were asking for volunteers, and one person from each group would be chosen to represent their team in the competition. And the volunteers would have to do something crazy, stupid, or embarrassing, or gross to show off and win the game. One kid did the splits all the way to the floor and stayed down there for about a minute or so. And then another kid blew up a full-size balloon using just his nose. And when they announced the game, I sat there racking my brain over and over. What could I do to compete? And then a wonderful idea hit me. When it came time for my performance, the MC announced what I would be doing, and the crowd instantly was grossed out because I had decided to have someone from the audience pick their nose, and then I would eat it.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
This is the story that didn't make it on the show?
Yeah. So they
Thanks, Steven.
They called for people to come forward and donate their boogers. So it's worse now than it was over lunch, and I don't even understand why.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why.
And two or three teenage boys came forward.
Oh, geez.
After they had picked their nose, their collective boogers were rolled together.
Oh, come on.
To form a super booger.
I bet you all of our patrons just dropped out.
I scooped it up with my finger. And after about 30 seconds of being cheered on to build up my courage, I ate it in front of the entire audience. Stephen Forster, this is not why Jesus died on the cross.
Okay.
To cover. He did not do it to cover that kind of crap. You're on your own, buddy.
I think there's a biblical law in the Old Testament that says something about that.
Yeah.
And I got a knot in my throat.
He said I did gag, but fortunately I did not throw up. I did hear later that a few teen girls ran out of the auditorium to throw up in the bathroom, though. That's pretty good. So my act did win the game, but since my team did poorly in the other games that week, we did not win the total contest at the end of the conference.
Steven!
You did it for nothing. You did it for no reason. Needless to say, I did not tell my wife this story while we were still dating.
Yeah.
And ever since she did hear this story, she has not kissed me ever since. Just kidding. LOL. Hope this makes it on the show. Barely. Stephen Forster.
I don't know. I think we should delete that one. That was
so gross, man. It's so messed up. It's so
When I was a little kid and I didn't know better.
Right. Yeah.
But now. James was my son James. Everybody knows who he is. He was picking I'm going to tell on him. He's not going to be happy. He's picking his nose and he didn't think I could
see him.
He didn't think I could see him. I said, hey, what you going to do with that? And then without even blinking or batting an eye, he says, I'm just going to rub it together with my fingers until it disintegrates. I'm like, you're sick, kid, but that's pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
Why did he do that?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. It's so gross.
Gross. Just gonna rub it in my fingers till it disintegrates.
It's like a little piece of Play-Doh. That's what it is.
He says it gets absorbed into my skin. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It goes onto the couch.
It's part of my, my exfoliation process. It's the key to softer, more supple skin, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're past that nostril stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to a story from Evan from Indiana. Indianapolis. Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah.
Evan from Indianapolis, Indiana, of all things. This is a Batman. Batman. Didn't he enter our show? Batman.
I don't know.
That was the audio that started our show off.
It sounded like Batman.
All right. Well, here's our story from Evan. When my daughter Naomi was around 5 years old, she woke my wife and I up with a bad dream. Being the exemplary husband that I am, I let my wife put her back to bed, who promptly fell asleep next to her. Because that's what you do. You know, you tuck the kids back into bed, you make sure that everything's okay, and then you fall asleep next to them. So. Mm. Well,
I was not that kind of father. I was I wasn't that nice. I was more of the get back to bed. Is everything okay? You know, I'll leave the light on and the door cracked, but I'm going back to bed. So
well, that's okay. I mean, I just would fall asleep anywhere, and my kids really didn't wake up a lot with bad dreams. In fact, when they did, I usually didn't wake up because I was already out, and I'd just wake up with an extra kid in the bed. So, well, that's my story. Sometime that night, though, Naomi woke my wife up and said, "There's a bird in my room." My wife mumbled for her to go back to sleep, assuming that it was all part of her dream. Well, the next day, everything seemed to be fine. Naomi went to school and we went to work. But that evening, as we were getting ready for bed, the bird, quote unquote, reemerged. As I'm sure you've guessed, it was a bat.
Oh, no.
It was John, and he was curled up on the ceiling. Yes. He's hanging there, staring at us.
That's one of the things you don't know about this show, but once you start listening, John comes to visit.
That's right.
As a bat.
And I turn into a bat and fly away, and sometimes I lose my way, and I wind up in somebody else's house. My wife and I, of course, freaked out, and it landed at the top of our vaulted ceiling. We threw things at it and even shot it in the face with a Nerf dart. But it stayed perched up there with its little head turned around backwards, staring at us.
Wow.
We were finally able to shoo it into the screen porch where we assumed we'd be able to capture it and find out if it had rabies or not. The following day, so my wife and daughter could avoid getting the shots. You see, you have to get a rabies shot if you happen to spend the night in a room with a bat.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that either. And that sounds very peculiar to me.
Yeah, I've heard rabies shots are painful. So
yeah, I've always heard like you have to get this series of shots like in your stomach.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So I can totally understand why Evan doesn't want his wife or daughter to have to get those shots. Unfortunately, though, the following day, the bat had somehow escaped. I still don't know how it managed that. Maybe it turned back into a vampire and opened the door and left. My wife and daughter had to get both had to get rabies shots, and I spent 4 weeks in the doghouse. Hope you enjoyed my story. Well, Evan, we did, and I'm sorry to your wife and daughter.
Why were you in the doghouse?
Because he didn't catch the bat.
Oh.
He left it out on the porch and it escaped somehow.
It's his fault, though? I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, he made his wife put the little girl back in bed by herself. You know, that's what you get for being exemplary as a husband, I suppose.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, he's bad husband, bad father.
Yeah.
And
it's all your fault, Evan. Oh, you should be ashamed.
Terrible, Evan. just kidding.
Poor guy.
This okay. One's called Honeymoon Hustle. It's from Bill from Indiana. My wife and I are getting close to celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary in 2022.
Congrats.
And I wanted to share a story with you. A scary event occurred during my honeymoon back in 2002 that would have made our married years actually just a day, rather than the 20 years they have been. My wife and I traveled to the Bahamas for our honeymoon, and I was super excited about the opportunity because I had never traveled outside the States or even seen the ocean before. Wow.
What?
Yeah, it's very common for folks from the middle of the country.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah, there's no
never
ocean
seen
near
ocean.
You.
Yeah, yeah. It's just lakes and rivers, but... we were both excited to spend a few days on a white sandy beach overlooking the turquoise ocean.
Ooh.
Our wedding day lasted late into the evening, which caused us to drive late at night to our hotel. From there, we'd catch an early flight the next morning to our honeymoon destination. Flying over the ocean was terrifyingly awesome.
I totally get that.
The vast blue ocean was so beautiful to behold from thousands of feet in the air. And after several hours of flights, we finally arrived at our island destination. And I was not sure what to expect when we arrived. My wife had traveled before, and she informed me that in order to get to the resort, we'd have to take a taxi. And I'm okay with that. So I'm trying to prepare myself for this new adventure. But as the airport door, I'm on the lookout for your stereotypical yellow taxi cab. But to my surprise, I only saw a row of old junky sedans straight out of the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've obviously never been to Mexico or anywhere like that. Yeah. They just, whatever they can get is a taxi. So
that's right.
Keep in mind, this was 2002 and these taxis, quote unquote, were already looking old. As we were walking out our bags, with our bags, a group of gentlemen approached us asking us if we need a taxi. And I'm thinking, sure, where are they? But soon we were standing at a 1980s powder blue Buick loading our luggage into the trunk. I hesitantly get in and I see the taxi meter bolted to the dash and think, oh, I guess this is legit. So we are soon on our way and we quickly realize that they drive on the opposite side of the road than we do on the states. So that was interesting. But the problem was the driver's position was still on the same side as ours. So it was doubly weird. And that took some getting used to from our backseat perspective. This driver was really the only one. He was really only one in the sense of the word. My wife and I were being tossed about in the backseat as the man drove his way through city traffic with adrenaline flowing and blood pressure rising. My wife and I clutched each other's hands tightly as we were carried along at the whims of our driver. We finally left the city. We're soon a two-lane blacktop road heading towards the coastline. Our trip got most terrifying when just from a couple miles from the resort, a car in front of us was apparently not driving fast enough for our race car driver, and he decided to pass, which was expected since he had done it a dozen times already. The only difference this time is he decided to do it on a blind hill curve.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So as we realized what he was doing to us, we dropped each other's hands and we clambered to clutch each other as closely as possible.
Oh, my goodness.
With certain death so imminently close, my mind raced to think, well, it was nice knowing you, sweetheart. Here we were, a freshly married couple, by only a matter of 20 hours, being faced with certain death and dismemberment. My mind also uttered a quick prayer for that 80s piece of crap and an abused American steel car to be able to get capable of speeding past the other car quickly enough to avoid any potential oncoming vehicles that was sure to be barreling down on us from the other side of the hill. With the engine at max RPMs, along with our hearts, we managed to get over the hill and back to the other lane without any further incident, other than a little bit of pee that left me, incidentally. We pulled into our resort and fell out of the car, kissing the pavement. Our driver walked to the back of the car with an air of confidence, unaffected.
Of course he did.
He was proud. He was unaffected by the harrowing event that had just taken place. Just another day in traffic, I suppose. No, he dominated that traffic. That was the thing, man. He was
Raymond.
He read that traffic's mail. I'm happy to report that after our brush with death, we managed to enjoy a beautiful and memorable week on the island. Thankfully, our return trip wasn't as eventful. Here's to another 20 glorious years. Keep the awesome show, fellas. Bill from Indiana. So,
well, thank you, Bill.
Goodness gracious.
Glad you lived through that ordeal.
Dude, I did that one time when I was dating Jen. And I was, you remember Hidden Treasures Assembly of God?
Yeah, yeah, right there in Kingsland.
Yeah, I was in a trailer, you know, and it was on a curve. Well, yeah, I was driving. That's right. I was driving past that church, and I decided I wanted to overtake the person, you know, that was that was next to me, and I was stupid. I was just stupid. It's double line, you know. So I get in the other lane and I floor it, and I am neck and neck with this car next to me and a semi.
And they're speeding up.
A semi truck is barreling right towards me. I can't do anything. I can't think right. Logically, what you would do is hit the brakes and swerve back into my lane.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. I was too young and inexperienced and stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
I had already done that. That proves that how stupid I was. The truck ended up going off onto the shoulder and halfway into the ditch and then back up onto the highway, blaring his horn the entire way.
Oh, man.
I still don't know how he didn't flip because there was nothing but a ditch next to the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I could have killed somebody. It was ridiculous.
Holy cow.
Could have killed myself.
Is this a confession? Do we need to?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
I'll take a little domino lap out here on the anvil.
I used to drive everywhere doing 70 miles an hour, and it was terrible, and I got a ticket. I got a ticket one time for close to $400.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did that cure you of your?
I never speeded again on purpose.
Nice.
I have gotten tickets or warnings in the past, but it was because I didn't know the speed limit. Not that it was speeding on purpose, but it cured me, man. Cured me young. I was young.
Well, that's good, and it probably saved a life.
Yeah.
My brother.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, that story reminded. Remember when we went to. The Axe Cop anniversary.
Yeah.
We kind of co-hosted that thing with Ethan.
Yeah.
And he picked us up from the airport.
Yeah.
And then we were going to that place and then he kind of whipped around in traffic and there's like a car right there. Yeah. I peed a little too.
Oh,
that was fun. Anyways, I got a story from our friend TJ Bunkall. This is the wrong worm. Are you ready?
I am.
Ready for this? Okay.
I think
I was six. You think, well,
yeah, well, we never know what we're getting into with these stories. So
yeah, sometimes these titles, it's poison ivy or it's the wrong worm. I don't know. It could be anything. Okay. Let's cross our fingers. Hey, I was 16 in my sophomore year of high school. I was at a girl's birthday party who I happened to be good friends with and also secretly had a crush on. Yes, that's how it is.
Yeah.
There was this. What?
Oh, I was going to say, there's no such thing as being good friends with a cute girl. You're just.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just holding out hope that eventually she'll crack and let you kiss her somehow. So.
Yes. So if you're a cute girl and there's a guy hanging around with you all the time, he probably has a crush on you, just FYI.
Yeah, just put him out of his misery. Tell him to buzz off. So
just tell him you can't be friends.
Yeah.
And that way he doesn't have to live his life on in the friend zone and the unexpected. So maybe she'll fall in love with me Monday. No. Anyhow, there's this dance off, quote unquote. I don't know what else to call it. It was a formal name. It was no formal name or dance or anything. It was just a dance off. And I was going to do the worm. You know the worm, James, that 80s dance that we used to do?
I never did it, but I've seen people do it. I'm not good enough or coordinated enough. And plus, it's called the worm.
I don't know how it's a dance. More of it's an acrobatic ability.
A feat. It's a feat.
Yeah. You know? I could do it. I could probably still do it now. I don't know. I did hurt myself the last time I did it, but... maybe that's why I don't do it anymore. But TJ figured out how to do it the year before.
Yeah.
You see, I would get on my belly, lift my legs up and slap them down once or twice to get my torso up and then repeat. It kind of makes a little wave motion.
I think that's one of the reasons why I never wanted to do it is because you have to have a belly. And I've only seen overweight guys do it. And I never wanted to do it. I never wanted to be the overweight guy that does the worm, you know? Hey, look, because people will clap. They're, you know, they're impressed because you're rocking back and forth over this natural, convex shape on your body. So
yeah,
no, I'm good. I'm good without doing.
Guys got some rhythm. Check them out.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's important. And there is a rhythm to it, and to do it properly, you kind of have to get that. I yeah. So anyways. TJ created a good thumping rhythm. Ba, ba, boom. Ba, ba, boom. Feet, feet, chest. Feet, feet, chest. Yeah, that's, you just imagine him just kind of going in that little.
Yeah, serpentine, kind of wavy motion.
Serpentine, yeah. Well, I'm at this party and I slam my feet a little too forcibly into the floor at the wrong angle. I should have been smacking the tops of my feet into the floor, but instead I smacked my toes Ow. Into the floor. Mm-hmm. I heard a crack, and I reeled with pain. I tried walking, but that just hurt, so I went home early. The next morning, I biked 17 miles because using the middle of my feet was not as painful as using my toes. Okay, so you bike 17 miles instead of walking 17 miles.
Yeah, logic of middle schoolers again.
Of a 16-year-old, young man who had a crush on a girl at a party that he couldn't discuss his feelings for
my worms. Said, the worm will impress her.
Yes, she'll love me after she can see how awesome I am at doing the worm.
The worm has never won a woman's heart. I just want to tell you that right now. If you're thinking, if you're planning, and you're 16, and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna knock her dead, and if I don't get her, surely some female in the group is gonna be like swooning over me doing the worm. No, just stop. Figure out a real dance move. Get on TikTok, whatever you got to do, but don't do the worm. It ain't for the ladies. The ladies,
yeah,
will tell you.
I haven't seen too many of the worm on TikTok, so
no, maybe. It's oriented the wrong way. You know, how would you TikTok the worm? It's a vertical platform. You know, vertical video platform. Yeah,
that's a good point. You have to turn your phone sideways, and that just does not work.
Ugh.
Well, after my bike ride, my toe had turned black. No, that's not good.
That is not good.
We went to a podiatrist and discovered I had shattered my toe.
Gosh.
Shattered. I had a total of 5 breaks. Oh, on both sides of the knuckle. Oh,
what?
I was out in a boot for a month. So the worm failed me. I didn't win the dance off. I didn't win the girl. All I got was a demolished big toe. And a great story to send into that story.
Yes, yes, yes. Congratulations. Yeah. Yes.
Here you go. TJ's with us in the chat room tonight.
Awesome.
So I think that he's healed well and, maybe moved on from that cute girl that he has secretly had a crush on.
Yeah. Man, the things we do for love.
Yeah. Break our toe.
Break our freaking toes. We'll do it. Just, hey, watch, watch me do this trick. Here, I'll do this trick. Yeah. And then you kill yourself. Yeah. It's just not good.
Anytime I try to show off, and I just learned it early, anytime I would try to show off, I would do something wrong and embarrass myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I learned a long time ago that my humor was going to, you know, have to do. I didn't have the looks, you know, I didn't have the height. I didn't have the fashion sense.
Not athletically inclined enough to be able to be a show off.
Yeah. But my personality and my humor, you know, is what got my girl, you know, and still to this day, she's amazed, you know, when I say things like I'm going to do a little number two. So,
well, I wish I could say it was that for me, but it really is all my money.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's true. He hasn't
found out I'm poor yet.
Yeah. You have to be funny or rich. So, this is our last story for today. It's called Double Arm Harm. And it's from Cohen Avery. He says, one time I was outside and it's kind of one of these too, by the way.
Dang it. Move out of the way,
stupid.
Okay, so one time I was outside and I decided to climb a tree. And I climbed in and I was going to jump off it, but then I did and my shirt got caught like on a tiny branch and I fell forward and broke both my arms at the same time, like in 7 different places.
Ouch.
That was the original email that he sent me, and I wrote him and I said, if you want your your story on the show, you're going to have to give me more than that. So yeah, he wrote back
a little bit.
He did. He said, I couldn't get up, so I slowly crawled back to my door because the tree was right beside my house and softly knocked on the door with my knee.
Oh. I can see that happen. Oh, my God.
He just got these useless dangling flesh things hanging off his shoulders, and he's like, how am I going to do this? I use my head, but that would ruffle my arms, you know? So,
you just
bend the knee and boom, boom, boom. So I was somewhat in tears. I say somewhat because I was hurt. Like I was going to cry, but I couldn't cry because my body wouldn't let me. Yeah, that makes sense. Middle school world.
Yeah.
So I said, help me. And I heard my mom drop something and run to the door. She opened the door, freaked out, got a babysitter for my little siblings, and she drove me to the hospital. I remember the doctors pulled my arm and snapped my bone back in place.
Ouch. Yeah, that hurts.
It hurt bad, even with the pain helper. So... Ask pain helper. Ask for it by name at the ER.
Are you hurting? Get some pain helper.
Pain helper. It's Avery approved. Later, I got my casts, and they were so itchy, I had to put a stick down my cast and scratch. At school, somebody else had to do my work for me, which is good, but I had to tell them what to write because he had two casts on, you know?
Yeah,
I sat in bed most weekends after school because I had nothing to do. I usually played video games, but I had no hands.
Now he knows how Larry the Cucumber feels.
Man, how did you go to bathroom? You know, how was washing?
Oh,
your poor mom. That's all I got to say.
Oh,
no. I finally got them taken off about 2 or 3 weeks after that. And 4 years later, my arms feel great. Hope you enjoyed the story. Cohen Avery. Of course we enjoyed it because it was middle school drama!
Yay!
Move out of the way, stupid.
Oh, man. Breaking both arms.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how many stories I get that are like 2 sentences long. But this one, I was like, dude, I have to have more. I have to have more than you just jumped out of a tree and broke your arms. I need to know.
He didn't even end it with lulls.
No.
Lulls.
No, he didn't. But he did a good job. Well, that's our show. Surely you have a funny life story. Whatever your story is, we want you to send that thing to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review the show at review.nlcast.com. Thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed, just think, hey, that belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James.
You're the best, man.
Me? Oh, no. I think the people who write in the stories are the best.
I agree. I like them. Yeah. And our patrons?
Oh, man. Can't live without our patrons.
Our patrons?
They're the double best.
Patrons? P-A-I-N-T-R-O-N-S?
I can't speak with words. It's they okay. Don't work for me.
All right. Well, patrons. Let you off the hook this time.
Hey, sorry, patrons. Patrons!
Don't jump out of any trees. We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.